Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Bell, Minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation. I'm down at the hour, at the 12th hour. Today is October the 19th, 2024, or it is the 17th day of Bull 2028. We will start our second service this Saturday with a prayer and a we'll go on with our sermon to be named. Our track number 8 by the Vicky Hutter. And it is entitled Mount Zion at the 11th hour. And we upgrade to the 12th hour now that we are in the 12th hour. The 11th hour was from 1970 to 2003, and the 12th hour began in 2003, actually. We are going to start with page 1, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. For the Mount Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for the Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Yahweh. Let's do it again. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Father, Yahweh. Isaiah 62:1-3. Wonder of the divine love, fruition of the exceeding precious promise, that the Yahweh will continue speaking unto her until she become a great and powerful and resplendent light in all of the world, and a crown of the glory in the hand of the Yahshua, the house of Israel, the spiritual house of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is seen standing with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Now, I'll read that again. For the Seventh-day Adventist Church, first fruits, 144,000, the purified, sanctified first fruits of the harvest are seen standing with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. For the revelation of the Yahshua, which the Yahweh gave unto John, the revelator, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, Revelation 1:1. It says, it's actually Revelation 1:9, I believe. Okay, it says, for the affirmation that the prophetic event, preached to John, was privileged to record, were to come to pass not before, but shortly after his receiving of the revelation of them, showed that the prophecies of the revelation were to be fulfilled sometime during the New Testament period. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from the heaven, as the voice of the many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Revelation 14:1-3. Prior unto this prophetic event, the standing of the first fruits harvest of the Adventist Church of the 144,000 up on the Mount Zion, a door was opened in the heaven. The first voice which I heard, says to John, was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were the 24 seats, and upon the seat I saw the 24 elders sitting, clothed in the white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of the gold. And before the throne there was a sea of the glass like unto the crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the four beasts full of the eyes before and behind. Revelation 4:1-4 and 6. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odour, which are the prayers of the saints. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of the many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the receiving of the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation 5:8-12. For the Lamb standing at the first before the throne into heaven stands later with the first fruits harvest of the Adventist Church of 144,000 on the Mount Sinai up on the earth, though the elders and the beast round about the throne remain in the heaven. So correctly to understand this prophetic event in its entirety, we must carefully differentiate the part that takes the place in the heaven from the part that takes the place on the earth. For the 7 lamps, Revelation 4:5, being part of the sanctuary fixtures, gives the conclusive evidence that the heavenly throne scene occurs in the sanctuary, whereas the subsequent sign scene takes place upon the Mount Zion in the land of Israel, as a designated place for the king's earthly palace ground, not upon the Mount Moriah, the sanctuary ground. Where it would necessarily have to take place for it to denote that the event occurs in the sanctuary. For these things, therefore, are of the two different events and the two different locations. For the sitting of the throne in the heaven and the standing of the redeemed, the 144,000, first fruits harvest of the Adventist church with the Lamb on the earth, while the activities that are embraced in the throne scene are still in the progress. Moreover, the statement, I will show how these things which must be hereafter, places the events in the apostolic period, and the statement stood as a lamb, as it had been slain, leading in the sinner's behalf, places them in the probationary time. Then, from a comparison of the Daniel 7, 9, 10, 13, with the Revelation 4, 2, and 5, 1, and 11, already quoted, the fact is clear that both visions are of the same event, the judgment of the dead and the living, at two different times. The judgment of the dead is in the 10th and the 11th parabolic hour. The judgment of the living is in the 12th parabolic hour. And that's the hour that we're in now since 2002. For the one reveals it occurring in the period of the nondescript beast, second stage after its horn, which had the eyes of a man and the mouth speaking great things, had blasphemed after the reign of the ecclesiastical Rome, and before the beast was slain and his body given unto the burning flame, Daniel 7:11, before the Rome's destruction. And the other vision reveals it taking place sometime in the antitypical apostolic period and within the probationary time. And when the probationary time ends, that also closes out the 12th parabolic hour. Okay, that's for the Daniel saw thrones set up, and the Ancient of the Days, the judge sit, showing that neither he nor the thrones were there beforehand, evidently on the rest of the thrones' seats set the 24 elders, and finally he saw the Son of the Man, Yahshua, as the advocate brought before the Ancient of the Days. Accordingly, both the Daniel and John saw the judgment set and the books open. And as John saw the 144,000 first fruits harvest of the Adventist church, standing on the Mount Zion, at the beginning of the harvest, in the 12th parabolic hour, with the Lamb, after the judgment was set, and before it was closed, by the event, consequently comes neither before nor after the judgment, but during the judgment of the dead. And now remember that the John's vision of the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1, reveals that the Yahshua, as the Son of Yahweh, as a Savior, for as his vision of the Lion of the tribe of Judah standing before the judgment throne that his father is sitting upon, reveals him as a king. Correlated, they show that while he is then the Savior, the Redeemer by his blood of all mankind that accepts the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way, he is at the same time the King of the Kings. It's now been clear as to when the first fruits harvest of the 144,000 emerged out of the Adventist Church, increased interest follows as to who they are, seeing that they are followers of the Lamb, and typical apostolic believers, and the Yahshua, as the King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns, also sons of the Jacob. So 144,000 represents lineal descendants of the sons and the sons of Jacob. They are the sons of Jacob, for they are therefore Israelites indeed, not Gentiles. Whosoever has been converted unto the antitypical apostolic congregation of the Church of the Nazarene, accepting Yahshua as his personal Savior, has had an experience which has completely overthrown and revolutionized his former plans and hope. By his entire way of life, he has renounced the world and all of its pleasures of the sin for a season. Hebrews 11:25, and has become a new creature in the Yahshua, born again, heir of the kingdom, according unto the promise. This is what the Yahshua meant when he declared unto the Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Paul, having this experience in mind, says, "If you belong unto the Yahshua, then are son of Yahweh, then are ye the Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of Galatians 3:29. Regardless, therefore, whether one be a Jew or a Gentile, he can have no part in the everlasting kingdom prophesied by the Daniel 2:44-5 of the Yahshua, saved through the second birth, by which he becomes one of the seed of Abraham. For this spiritual transformation, nevertheless, does not fix anyone's racial identity and tribal lineage. It cannot, in the other words, make one a Judahite if he is not descended from the Judah, or make him an Ephraimite if he is not descended from the Ephraim. Consequently, with the 144,000 being of the sons of Jacob, cannot in any way be of the Gentile nation. For they therefore, first of all, are lineal or descendants of the Jacob, though not necessarily of the present identifiable Jewish stock. For the 10 tribes, the kingdom of Israel in the north, with Ephraim, son of Joseph, were carried away, scattered throughout the cities of the Medes, 2 Kings 17:7, and so completely submerged in the sea of the life of the surrounding nations and assimilated that they were utterly lost sight of racially and to the human reckoning. Similarly, as the two tribes, the king of the Judah, the kingdom of the Judah, were carried away into the Babylon. It was also in the north of them. There's only a few returned unto Jerusalem after the 70 years of their captivity, and it was accomplished. A multitude also of them lost their identity. For a multitude also of them also lost their identity. For then also the early apostolic congregation of the Church of the Nazarene, the Nazarene meaning Church of the Yahshua, was made up of the Jews only, of the apostles, as 120 in the upper room, Acts 1:15, and the 3,000 who were converted on the day of the Pentecost, Acts 2:41, were all Judeans from the tribe of Judah, the tribe of David, the tribe of Yahshua, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, as were indeed virtually all of those who were added daily for the first 3.5 years after the crucifixion, Daniel 9:26-27, Acts 2:47, and even after this period was over, and the apostles were commissioned to take the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, unto the Gentiles, Acts 13:46. Many more Judeans became apostolic believers in the Nazarene, Yahshua, and subsequently as the antitypical apostolic Nazarene, rather than as the Jews or the Israelites were scattered among the nations. Rather than as Judeans were scattered among the nations. Not all that are Judeans in Judah, not all are true to their faith. Truly, therefore, in each instance, most of the sons of Jacob lost their racial distinctiveness. And the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, however, has ever kept the genealogies of all the nations, especially of the sons of Jacob. He will, as he has promised, make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of the Zion it shall be said this, and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her, for Yahshua shall count when he riseth up the people, that this man was born there, Selah. Psalms 87:46. Thus just as obvious and as strange is the fact that no one today but the recognized Jew can vouch for his ancestry, with the result that the first fruits harvest of 144,000 out of the Adventist Church can be gathered from almost every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and yet be of the sons of Jacob, of the 12 tribes. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the word of the prophecy, in this connection, that the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, that shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from the Patriarchs and from the Kush and from the Elam and from the Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth, and shall, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall be off from the channel of the river unto the stream of the Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of the Israel. Isaiah 11:11, 12:27, 12. Since therefore history, logic, and scripture combine their evidences to prove unconditionally that Yahweh has preserved the genealogy of the chosen branch of the human race forward from the Adam unto Noah, Matthew 1:1-17, and backwards from Yahshua unto the Adam, Luke 3:23-38, he must then, for a consistent reason, also have preserved the identity of the elect today. And this we see is precisely what he has done in his designating of the lineage of the 144,000 as of all the tribes of the children of the Israel, Revelation 7:4. And though we know not what we are and cannot ever of ourselves tell, for the one who knows all about us, even unto the last hair of each head, knows our precise ancestry, although those of us who are to be gathered from the seed of Jacob are, says the prophet, as the sand of the sea, whereas, comparatively speaking, the identifiable Jewish race of the day is but a handful unto the nations, and therefore cannot today be the ones unto whom apply the terms Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph. Going back for a moment unto the historical approach for our subject, we recall that after the Solomon's death, the Israelite nation, the 12 tribes, was divided into the two separate kingdoms, 1 Kings 11:11, 12, and 12:19. For the 10-tribe kingdom occupying the northern portion of the promised land was called Israel, also Ephraim, and occasionally the house of Joseph. Israel, because of its majority of tribes, 10, Ephraim, Isaiah 11:13, became the, because of its kings came from the Ephraim and Joseph, Ezekiel 37:16, because he was the father of the Ephraim. But the two tribes in them, occupying the northern portion, or the southern portion, let's do that again, but really the, also the two tribe kingdom, occupying the southern portion of the land of Israel, was called Judah, because its kings were of the tribe of Judah, and therefore its descendants are called Judeans of the tribe of Judah. The term Israel accordingly often applies only unto the 10 tribes, Joseph, Ephraim. So when henceforth in these pages the reader comes upon the terms Judah, Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph, he will understand precisely who they are designating, and will thus, as we proceed, better understand Yahweh's plan for the ingathering of the 12 tribes of Israel, and for the reuniting them in the one great kingdom. That's our subtitle for this next study. For the kingdom of the heavens, said the Yahshua, is like unto a grain of the mercy seed, which a man took and showed in his heel, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it's sown, it is the greatest among the herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Matthew 13:31-32. Yet the number of the children of the Israel shall be the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living Yahweh. Hosea 1:10. Hearing Yahshua's teaching, then rejecting them and crucifying him, the Jewish nation brought upon their heads the doom that the Yahweh pronounced upon them when through his prophet he declared, you are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh. Though at the same time, in his great mercy, he let the promise be written in the place where it was said unto them, ancient Israel, ye are not my people. There it shall be said unto them, ancient Israel, ye are the sons of the living Yahweh. See Romans 9:24-26. So happily the same people, Israel and Judah, who were set aside and scattered, will in that day, our time, be reaccepted and gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall conquer the land, Hosea 1:11, having abode many days without a king, their lot, from the days of their captivity in the Babylon, even unto this very day, the children of Israel shall afterwards, sometime in the future, says the scripture, return and seek the Yahshua their Savior, and David their King, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. But as the David, the king of the ancient Israel, had been dead for the many years, when this prophecy was made, and as it has never been fulfilled, he was a type of the David to come. Accordingly, it is those who fear Yahshua and his goodness, the apostolic Israelites, antithetical, in the latter days, our time, who shall appoint one head, our king, the antitypical David. For the complete study of the Hosea 1:2, read our chat number 4, the latest news for mother. And that's what we just got to doing. From the clear-cut facts in the preceding paragraph, we see that the children of Israel, dispersed without a king these many days, are to return not as Jews but as Christians. This consolidation of the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, is set forth in the symbolism of the two joined sticks. Thy Son of Man, says the Yahshua, take the one stick and write upon it for the Judah and for the children of the Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for the Joseph, the stick of the Ephraim, and for all of the host of Israel, his companion, and join them one into another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by this? Say unto them, thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph which is in the hand of the Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks from thy riders shall be in thine hand. before their eyes and say unto them, Thus saith Yahshua, son of Yahweh, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on the every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh, and David my servant shall be the king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children, forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37:16-25. Well, this illustrated prophecy scarcely needs to be interpreted, as it is virtually self-explanatory, showing that the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, will yet be gathered from among the heathen among whom they have long been scattered, and that they will become again one great nation, a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, Daniel 2:44. Moreover, saith Yahshua, I will make a covenant of the peace with them, for it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore, for my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, do sanctify Israel by my blood, and my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them for the evermore. Ezekiel 37:26-28. Since the Yahweh says that he will multiply them when they again become a kingdom, and that the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, do sanctify Israel by my blood, and since he can neither multiply nor sanctify after the close of the probation, the two ancient kingdoms must necessarily then be restored and consolidated during the probationary time in the 12th pillar by the jar, and that's the hour that we're in now. The times of the restitution is our next subtitle, for the 144,000 being as the first fruits harvest of the 70 have been a church of spiritual Israel of today, there must therefore be the second fruit. For where there is the first, there must also be the second, and as the first fruits are the servants of Yahweh, they must subsequently be sent unto all the nations for the gathering of the second fruits, Isaiah 66:19-20, for the great multitude, Revelation 7:9, which John saw after viewing the sealing of the 144,000. For a detailed study of this subject, the 144,000 and the great multitude, see our chart number 1, pre-11th hour extra, the Shepherd Rod, volume 1. Also, for the fact that in their mouth is found no gall, Revelation 14:5, plainly goes to show that they are to be proclaimed and nothing but they are to proclaim only the true, the pure, a gospel truth, and that is teaching of the blood of the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant by faith, and makes their words as authoritative as and as mandatory as the written words of the prophets and of the apostles. Indeed, these first fruits are invested with the ever greater power and authority. In that day shall Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of the David shall be as a Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. Also on that day, further says Zechariah, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of the David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. When this fountain for sin and for uncleanness is finally open unto the house of David, the crowning evidence will be seen that the consolidation of the two kingdoms is an accomplished fact, and that the time has come for the proclamation of the gospel in all of the world. And it shall come to pass, and that day saith Yeshua the host, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land, Zechariah 13:2, that is, at the time that this gospel proclaiming kingdom is set up, Daniel 2:44-5, it will be a purified church without any guile, also free from all idolaters and false teachers, and it shall be fed by one shepherd, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, Yahshua, will be their savior and visible king at this time in the 12th prophetic hour. And my servant David, also as my under servant, will be entitled a king, a prince among them, Ezekiel 34:23-24. When Yahshua thus takes the reins in his own hands, testimony to ministers, page 300, and again rules the church as a theocratic government in the last days, it shall come to pass, as says the Isaiah, that the mountain of Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Yahweh, unto the house of Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahshua from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, Isaiah 2:2-4. So with the ushering in of the everlasting kingdom, Daniel 2:44-45, consequent restitution of all things, there shall be, on the one hand, a great awakening among the nation, scrapping vast stores of the war implement that they have for years been laying up, and they shall seek to go up unto and become, they shall seek to go up also and become subjects of the kingdom, and also join the armies of the Yahshua, Joel 2. Revelation 19, allowing him to fight for them, while on the other hand, there shall be a feverish war preparation among those who refuse to awaken, hurling all into a super armament program. They turn even their farm implements into the weapons of war against the kingdom of Yahshua, his church. Joel 3, 9 and 12, Zechariah 12, 3. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut then or not, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel, and the Holy One of Israel is Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, Isaiah 60, verse 11 to 14. For the further study on this phase of the subject, see the Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 173 to 181. Explaining Micah 4, and as a typical example of how the Bible is the Yahshua, read 2 Chronicles 20, 15, 19, 24 to 30. But being far, far, very far from such high and holy estate, the church must be purified. For no believer or follower of the Nazarene creed or of any faith, for no Christian of any faith, can honestly deny the church's need of the purification. Let's do that again. There is no Christian of any faith can honestly deny the church's subjectivity, need of the purification. And as the Yahshua never does anything without forewarning his church, he is now sending unto her the message of the purification and the order to give her a foretaste of the future glory, so that as the heavens clarion call until the Reformation continues sounding forth among the people, they may have a keen relish for its truth and may give themselves wholeheartedly unto the work of the reform. Right now, while he is clearly laying before them his plan for the setting up of his everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2, 44 and 45, which is the same thing as the kingdom of David, and typical, with the consequent results for the sinners of those who give implicit heed unto the call, shall have an irresistible desire to come fully into the line and to have the Yahshua separate them from sin and sinners, for they alone shall receive the seal of Yahweh. And as the first fruits of the kingdom, 144,000 strong, stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Such a state of the holiness will today, just as in the past, cause the dragon to be wroth with the woman, that old serpent, also now to make war with her remnant, Revelation 12, 17, a conflict which is further described in the words, I saw the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth at the time of the sealing of the 144,000, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh, and he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the service of our Yahweh in their foreheads. Revelation 7:1-3. Here are brought to view two hurtings about to take place, one by the wind, for the other is by the angels, and the two commands unto the angels, one that they restrain the winds, that the winds blow not on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, Revelation 7:1. The other, that the angels refrain themselves from the hurting of the earth, the sea, and the tree, till the servants of the 144,000 of Yahweh are sealed, Revelation 7:2-3. Since therefore, as soon as the servants of the 144,000 of the Yahweh are sealed out of the Adventist church, first week's harvest of the parabolic hour, both the winds and the angels will begin to hurt. For the question arises as to what the work of the winds and the work of the angels represent. Political strife. Are there something else? Are there something or something else? As the nation have always been at war, this twofold work of the hurting could only represent the political strife. All I know is that, let's read that again. For this twofold work of the hurting could not represent political strife. And as Yahshua says that at the time of the end, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, Matthew 24:7, it is true that the hurting by the winds also, the hurting by the angels, both of which are kept back until the 144,000 are sealed, must be figurative of the holding back the time of the trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Daniel 12:1, accordingly, Yahweh's restraining of the four winds is his holding back the image of the beast, activity, Revelation 13:15-17, against the saints, while the restraining of the four angels, that they hurt not, is the holding back of the executing of his vengeance, Isaiah 63:1-4, Jeremiah 51:18, upon the sinners who trouble the spiritual house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist church, and the purified church of the 144,000, until after the sealing of the 144,000 is completed. Then couple these two hurtings, bring the time of the trouble such as never was. Revelation 17:1-3. Therefore reveals a twofold conflict. With the wicked men against the Yahweh, the blowing of the wind, and Yahweh against them, the angels hurting them, but though the blowing of the winds and the hurting of the angels after the service of Yahweh are sealed, will bring the time of the trouble, yet everyone that shall be found written in the book shall be delivered, Daniel 12:1. From these facts we see that this time of the trouble is held back in order for the safeguarding of the sealing of the 144,000, now the Adventist church, first fruits harvest of the 12th parabolic hour, judgment of the living servants, let's say, the very elect be brought down to the worship of the image of the beast, or be killed for refusing. Since in the Revelation all the books of the Bible meet, and in the Acts of the Apostles, page 585, the sealing of the servants of the Yahweh Revelation 7, must necessarily be found also in the prophecy, and the Ezekiel chapter 9 is envisioned the marking of those who sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of and Judah and in Israel, and the slaughter of those who do not just sigh and cry, and the fact that Yahweh has at no time taken the sinners from among the righteous in the Judah and in Israel shows that this prophecy of the purification by the slaughter of Ezekiel 9 has never been fulfilled. So therefore, as the marking of the same is the same as the sealing the angel slain is the same as the angel hurting. For this hurting and sealing which John saw, and the slaughter and the marking which Ezekiel saw, are again identified as one and the same. This sealing of the servants of Yahweh and is the same that was shown unto the Ezekiel in the vision. Testimonies of the Ministry, page 445. Testimonies, volume 5, page 211. Volume 3, page 267. Although the marking and the slaughter of Ezekiel 9 includes only the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Judah and Israel, for the hurting by the winds and the hurting by the angels, Revelation 7 include all the world, both the earth and the sea, each of which is indicative of a different locality, the sea, and the realm of the nature, the storehouse, the home of the waters, is therefore in the realm of the symbol, the birthplace of the nations, the old country, the earth. The opposite of the sea is correspondingly a domain away from the old country. It is located under John and the symbol of the two-horned beast coming up not out of the sea, but out of the earth, Revelation 13:11, in the United States. For the only place where the trees naturally grow would be on land, they wouldn't grow in the sea. And as, according to Daniel 4:20-22, trees are figurative of the rooted. Therefore, the trees in this instance represents the ancient men before the house of the Ezekiel 9:6, a fact which reveals that in this period, the Seventh-day Adventist Church spiritual Israel of the day headquarters are in the two-horned beast's dominion, the United States, the new world, the earth. So that right there proves that the United States is called a new world and the earth. In the light of the clear cut flash before us, we see that the main object of the sealing or marking of the servants of Yahweh is to cleanse the church from the sin and sinners so that she may be able to stand strong against the image beast in the time of the trouble, and that when this purifying work is completed, it shall come to pass that he that is left in the Zion and he that remaineth in the Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Yahshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of the Yahshua by the midst thereof, by the spirit of the judgment, and by the spirit of the burning, Isaiah 4:3-4. Well, this brings in, about said this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Let us close now with a song.